Please receive this now, our scripture lesson for the sermon from Matthew chapter 15, the first 9 verses, the living and active Word of God. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who curses father or mother, let him die the death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said. Amen. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, in your love and kindness, you have sent us Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, and in your love and kindness, you have granted us your clear word as well. We praise you for your kindness. Now, grant us ears to hear. Grant us lives of cheerful obedience as the seed word, your seed word, goes forth. May it change us for your glory. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus, and amen. You may be seated. We have Matthew 15, 1 through 9 open before us. May our hearts be open to the living and active Word of God. As we enter this passage and enter this interaction about transgression and tradition, we will have one point before us today. One point, and here it is. It is possible to set aside God's word, it is possible to set aside God's commandments by something that is otherwise acceptable, by something that could be considered good, that might even be considered respectable, responsible, reputable. It's possible to set aside the Word of God, even through that which might be considered, usually separately, a noble pursuit or practice. That's the one point. There are some who do everything for God. And if you do a scratch and sniff, for them, there's no room for anything else, and you can't even talk to them about what they're doing for God and what they might be missing. Martin Luther, during his isolated time, during his early dedicated time as a monk, thought that by being such a monk, he was being of more value and more profit to his father Hans than by loving his father Hans in another way. It is possible for ministers to have the ministry as a mistress. It is possible for someone to be so committed to their mission as a child of God that they neglect others. It is possible to set aside the commands of God by that which we do or that which we have done, and we could, for this moment, consider those are traditions. That which we do, that which we have done, it is possible that our traditions could supplant the Word of God. A tradition may have started well. A tradition, one of your traditions, might have started with good intentions, as well as a wise and a protective purpose. And then it is possible for it to develop a life of its own and to become the primary thing. Our passage gives us one example of this setting aside of the Word of God. It is an example of setting aside of the fifth commandment to honor father and mother. This setting aside of the fifth commandment of honoring father and mother is done for good and respectable reasons, or so they were told. This setting aside of the fifth commandment is done through religious service and religious sacrifice. Our passage today will deal with transgression, tradition, and talking. Let's take a look at our passage. Verse 1 begins, "Some scribes and some Pharisees have made the trek from Jerusalem, and they come to Jesus." They are going to have their come to Jesus moment. There's more than one way to come to Jesus. They come to Jesus on a sniffing mission. They're sniffing out something. There must be something wrong with him and what he is doing. There's got to be something wrong, and they find something. Verse 2 tells us what they find. They find something wrong with Jesus' followers. What's new? They find something wrong with Jesus' disciples. Ah, let's point the finger there. Let's shine the light there. But what do they find? In verse 2, why, the question is asked, do your disciples transgress? So transgression is right at the beginning. What do they transgress? Why do they transgress the tradition of the elders? How do they transgress this? By not washing their hands. Now, this needs some explanation. What is going on here? Three simple points as we work our way through this tradition of the elders. First of all, this was a distinctive washing, a ceremonial washing, a washing of ceremony. If you were to compare this with the passage in Mark chapter 7, the washing is called a washing with the fist. Now, people have wondered, what could that mean? Well, the most likely explanation is that the hands were held forward like this and the fingers were cupped loosely, making something like a loose fist. And then water would be poured, trickling, cupped into the hands, and then trickling down the hands. William Lane, one commentator in the Gospel of Mark, said, by cupping the entire hand could be washed ceremonially with a very small quantity of water. Mark, the Greek language, says that this washing occurs with the fist. So some have actually considered that what's happened is a little bit of water has been poured out, and then there's this fist that goes on, and there's this little washing. That's the first point. It's a distinctive washing that is going on here. Where did it come from? Well, try to understand, when somebody puts something forward, you want to try to figure out why would they do that? What would be good about it? This distinctive ceremonial washing was a way for them to act like the priests, to act like the ministers. The ministers, according to the priests, according to Leviticus 22, were not supposed to touch any unclean thing. They were the ones in the presence of God. They were the ones in the holy, fiery, burning presence of God. And these priests, if they did get near or touch any unclean thing, they were to go through a distinctive washing. Just a couple of verses from Leviticus 22. Speak to Aaron and his sons that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they do not profane my holy name by what they dedicate to me. I am the Lord. Later on, verse 6, the person who has touched any such thing shall be unclean until evening and shall not eat the holy offerings unless he washes his body with water. There's some kind of ceremonial washing that allows someone to be considered clean again. By the way, in the parallel passage in Mark's gospel, this wasn't just the hands that were ceremonially washed. They washed other things. Why? Because they didn't want to get near to the impurity. And Those outside the kingdom, those outside of the covenant, they were impure. They were unclean. This is what Mark 7, 4 says. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. That's, by the way, the Greek word baptizo. They don't eat unless they have a baptism of sort, a types of washing. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing, the baptizing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. Now, they're not immersing the dining couch. They're doing the ceremonial sprinkling or representative washing over the dining couch. Where are you going to sit? Where have you been? So there we are. The first point is it's a distinctive ceremony of washing. The second point is it's a way to act like the priests. You want to be wholly dedicated to the Lord. Third point, final point on this tradition of the elders. This was a concern for religious purity. It was not a hygiene matter at all. Our text says they don't eat, they don't wash their hands when they eat. And some people go, ew. That's not what this was at all. This was a matter of showing how devoted they were. Okay, that's what's going on. The accusation is, Jesus, your disciples don't wash that way. What does Jesus do? Verse 3 of our passage, he turns this around. He answers them this way. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by, because of, or through your tradition? Jesus does not deny that his disciples have transgressed the tradition of the elders. They have. They did not wash in that ceremonial way. Jesus does not condemn all tradition. What is Jesus' concern? His concern is that their practice, their tradition, allows them to discard God's law. So what's going on? They cite their tradition. Look at verse 4. Jesus cites the law of God. They bring forth as their authority, you know what? They didn't follow this. Jesus says, let's go to the law of God. And you know what he does? Jesus cites Exodus 20 and Exodus 21. Exodus 20, the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. This is what God commands. So that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And Exodus 21, the one who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. The Greek language says shall surely die the death. There's a specificity there. Jesus, it's as if he is saying, you are approving the disregard of parents because you are so devoted to God. You act as if that's okay. Jesus will now expose one of their traditions. Jesus is going to expose it. This is their tradition of being completely sold out to God. It's related to the hand washing. The hand washing is, I am so devoted to the Lord, I want to be a man of purity, of cleanliness, so therefore I will ceremonially, I'll be priestly. Now Jesus is going to expose another one of their traditions. It's a tradition that says, I am fully committed to the Lord. I am all in. Verses 5 and 6. This is what you say. Whoever says to his father or mother, this is how you overturn the fifth commandment. This is how you curse your father and mother. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift. It is given to God. It is an offering to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Jesus then says, thus you have made the word the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Nothing wrong with being fully sold out to the Lord. There's everything wrong with rejecting the Lord's commandments. Your practices, your traditions have basically said, fifth commandment, gone. Law of God, gone. You have made the commandment of God, the word of God, of no effect. You've made it void. You have said it is not to be confirmed. It is not to be ratified. God's law is invalidated. Now, they are basically saying that God's law is not in force. It is not binding. When someone is so committed to the Lord, Jesus is saying, what you have done is you have taken God's commands and you have put them on the shelf in the garage, and you've taken your own traditions and you've put them on the table. Here, your tradition has the effect of releasing someone from the responsible care and love of their parents under the guise of being religious. There's much that we could discuss in this passage about the responsibility of parents, about mistakes that parents have made, undue expectations that parents have made. We could also go right to cover to cover in the Bible on how godly children are to make some return to their parents for the investment made. Many good discussions, a very good Bible study. But right now, our simple point is, it is possible to set aside the word, the commandment of God, by our holy traditions. You know what else Jesus is saying here? It's not just that their tradition is saying that, you know, you're supporting dishonorable children. Your whole program is saying to children, you know what, you can be so fully committed to the Lord, you don't have to care about your mother and father anymore. Jesus is saying that, but he's also saying, you know what you are? You are unfaithful sons. You are not honoring your heavenly Father. You're acting like unfaithful sons. You are not just doing it yourselves, you're teaching others to do it. So again, your traditions. You might have started well with good intentions. You might have wanted to see people fully committed to the Lord, all in, no turning back, take no prisoners, no wavering. But to be fully committed to the Lord means following His commands. And the moment you allow your command to overrule God's commands, you're a hypocrite. So, it is possible to set aside God's word by that which you think is upholding God's word. Again, purity and cleanliness is good. Full devotion to the Lord is good. But not when they annul God's word. A couple of thoughts. You cannot simply say that you do what you do because you think it's good and it's what you've always done, as if you haven't grown or you cannot mature. Some start well with a particular practice and a particular tradition that they believe is derived from the Word of God, and then they don't ever grow or mature or revisit or reevaluate. That's also called stagnation. You know what? It was good back then. One's practices, no matter how honorable they might have been at the beginning, must still be subject to the law, word of God. Why? Because there's a greater authority than you. The Bible is not opposed to good godly traditions. The Apostle Paul commends the church of Corinth for receiving the traditions that they gave. He commended the church in Thessalonica for receiving the traditions. But they must always be submissive to the Word of God. And when someone comes forward and says, you know what, this is the way we do it, this is the way we do it, without any evaluation as to whether or not it's of the Word of God, that's a scary person, because there's no authority over that person other than their own authority. Our Lord is concerned with what we might call sola scriptura. Scripture alone is our authority. The scribes and the Pharisees could be said to be concerned with what they call tradition alone. What is first? Which is first? So here we are, transgression, tradition, and our sermon title says talking. Summarize. The scribes and the Pharisees have accused Jesus' disciples of transgression. They have transgressed the tradition of the elders. Jesus points out that their traditions are actually transgressing the law of God. So there's the transgression in the tradition. What about the talking? Verses 7 through 9. Jesus says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, you talk a lot. These people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Hypocrites, hupakrites, play actor. They are playing a part. How is this known? Jesus knows it by their talk, by their mouth, by their lips. The Lord, who searches the hearts, is able to accurately pronounce the title hypocrites. Hypocrisy is not inconsistency. Hypocrisy is not failing and sin and stumbling. Our Lord knows accurately and is able to label correctly a hypocrite. We can see open sins. Christ can see the heart. In Luke 16, verse 15, Jesus, in another encounter with the Pharisees, had this to say, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." They were very religious. Everything they were doing was for the Lord. If you were to ask them, if you were to do a scratch and sniff with them, what would come out? They're doing it for the Lord. That's why we wash this way. They talk, but they do not walk. They have a verbal veneer over everything they do. They sound good, might even having the best reasons, but they have discarded God's living and active word. That's why there's no life. So let's conclude. Oh, and yes, we'll see, Lord willing, how this section is connected to the section to come. In Matthew 15, we'll go from hands to hearts. We'll go from hand to mouth. But let's conclude. Again, it is possible to set aside God's word through the proclaimed pursuit of things that are or even could be considered noble and acceptable. You might have the best reason in the world. The question is, have you set aside God's word? Have we set aside God's word? That is why churches that bow the knee to Jesus Christ are always saying, Lord, what do you say? Or what do the scriptures say? It's also possible to set aside the word of God through that which we might think is right or noble or acceptable. A tradition may be reduced to something that you do, and you do it because you do it, and you've always done it. But does it edge out the Word of God? Matthew Henry said it well, clearly, bluntly. Matthew Henry, whatever leads to or countenances disobedience does, in effect, make void the command. What's leading you to disobedience? What is it that's making you look upon disobedience? You know what it's doing? It's doing this. Go ahead. Set aside the command. Go ahead. Do we do this in any ways? Do you do this in any way? Oh, no fingers are being pointed. Observations are being made, though. With trembling and humility, I have seen this being done in marriages. We do it this way without, and marriage is good, but what does the Lord say? The husband and wife relationship, yes, a man and a woman are to be together, and we do it this way. And with a tearful and a fearful humility, I have heard of men say, but this is why I, but what does the Word of God say? This has been seen in that which profiteth little, bodily exercise. This has been seen. I have no time. This has been seen with the exaltation of the family without regard to what God says about the family. This has been seen with regard to one's diet, as if divine, with one's career, as if consecrated above the Scripture. This has been seen with one's desires. But what does God's Word say? This can be seen with one's aspirations. But what does God's Word say? Someone may say, but this relationship or that relationship is what's best. What does God's Word say? Or this or that activity, but what does God's Word say? It is possible to gain the whole world and forfeit one soul. Transgression, tradition, and talking. The contrast that our Lord gives, I don't want just the mouth. I don't want just the lips. I want the heart, which is the whole of you, all of you. To set aside the commands of God for the sake of whatever is another way of setting aside Christ Himself, the Word of God. May the Lord be merciful to us as He continues to teach us and to shape us and to beautify us, so that we may present to Him hearts of wisdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.